Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
But when Peter saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. Jesus said, "Why did you doubt?" The verse before that says he was afraid. Fear opened the door for doubt, and where there is doubt, there is no faith.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern-day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's Infusion of the Truth.
Thank you, Corey. God bless you, truth seekers. Here's the question of the day. How do we turn talking faith into walking faith? How do we become faith walkers? I spent last week really drilling home this point, and I hope that I didn't overdo it, but I needed to make this point to really set up this teaching. The truth is, the Christian world of today, especially in America, the American Christian circles, one of the biggest obvious lacking things, one of those things that we should be seeing but we just don't, and truthfully we don't even know that it's not there anymore because we're so far removed from it. We're missing true practical faith. And what is that? That is faith that allows, that releases, if you will, God to do supernatural, powerful things through your hands. It is the practical faith that we're missing, that we need so desperately in our homes, in our families, in our churches, in our communities, in this nation. Hello? A nation that is in so many ways falling apart at the seams, morally. We're bankrupt like never before. And I'll tell you what we're missing. Faith walkers. Christians that are faith walkers, that walk out the theory, that walk out the thoughts and the ideals and the teachings and the sermons and the scripture in everyday life. How do we turn a talking faith into a walking faith? That's the question. Can restate it this way. How do we cross over from the theoretical into the practical? Well, we set that up and we talked about that quite a bit last week. So if you missed that, I just gave you the summary. But if you want it in more detail, go back and listen to last week's show. You go to the Truth Infusion website, truthinfusion.com, truthinfusion.com. And there on the website, you can go to our radio page. And last week's show is uploaded and ready for you to stream it for free. You can listen to it on your computer, on your notebook, on your iPad, on your Galaxy, on your phone. Anything you can stream a file to, you can listen to it, just like a podcast. You go do that. But we're going to move on today because I want to take you, as I said at the end of last week's show, into Mark chapter 9. As we've been studying through Mark, we come to one of my very favorite passages and stories in the Word of God. And the reason it is because through this study of these few verses, God really affected my life personally. And I have taught and preached on this passage a couple of times already. But it's one of those truths that just isn't for one time passing by, and then we go on to another teaching. This is remaining in my spirit, and because it remains in my spirit and God brings it back to me, I have spoken it more than once. And I want to give this to you as the beginning of this faith walking series. But we're going to begin in Mark chapter 9. But before we do that, I want to pray. I want to ask the Holy Spirit to be the teacher today, for Him to grab a hold of the words that come out of my mouth and the words that you hear and do something wonderful with it. Heavenly Father, that's our prayer. Lord, that you would send the teacher, that you would send the preacher, the one that can take your word and make it come alive in the not only the physical ears of the listeners, but in the spiritual hearts of those that are partaking from the bread of life today. We ask, God, that you would make this real. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so if you're driving and listening on the radio, you don't turn into your Bible right now. You just listen and keep safe. And I will read this, and we're going to read this in totality right here in Mark 9, and then I'm going to go back through this teaching and just grab different verses and really do our best to divide that word out. So here's what Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 14, says. And when he, being Jesus, when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Now, let me give you just a little bit of background. Jesus, Peter, James, and John are coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration, as it were. They just had that amazing experience on top of the mount where Jesus peeled back the flesh, so to speak, and revealed the glory that was within him. He gave Peter, James, and John a glimpse of the deity of the God-man. And not only did they see Christ there, but they saw Elijah there, and they saw Moses in a glorified state there. It was an unbelievable experience. And in fact, Peter, well known at that time for saying, Lord, let's just build some tents and stay up here. This is too good to stop enjoying this. And Jesus said, no, we've got to go down. There's something going on down at the bottom of the mountain. And this is where we come to this moment. So Jesus comes down and he sees the disciples and a great multitude there and the scribes disputing with them. Here's verse 15. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them? Verse 17. Then one of the crowd answered and said, Teacher, I brought you my son, who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. Verse 19. Jesus answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought the boy to Jesus. And when he, now I'm reading this and you can't read it here because you're driving perhaps. This word he is in small case, small h, it's not referring to Christ. When he saw him, now that word him is in uppercase letters. So here's what we're really saying here. When the boy, and more specifically, when the demon inside the boy saw Jesus, very important. When he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him. Now, that word convulsed is interesting. In the Greek, it's better translated completely convulsed him. In other words, this demon convulsed this young boy to the greatest extent that he possibly could. He gave it everything he could. He convulsed him with all his power. All right, let's continue in this verse. And the boy fell on the ground and wallowed. Wallowed is the word that's used there. And this word paints the picture of him convulsing on the ground so hard that he was literally flopping back and forth in the air, back and forth on the ground. It paints a picture in my mind of a fisherman throwing a fish they just caught up on the bank, and the fish is flopping back and forth so that it's flipping itself in the air. Okay? Fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. You got this picture? Look at verse 21 here. So Jesus asked the Father, how long has this been happening to him? And the Father said, from childhood. And often he has thrown him in both into the fire and into water to destroy him. Now watch, this is huge, this line right here from the Father. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Now watch this, verse 24. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. And then finally, verse 26, when the spirit cried out and convulsed him greatly, and then came out of him. Amazing story. And some amazing lessons we can glean from this. We're going to talk about faith today. We're going to talk about the idea of being a faith walker. But there's some things we have to understand that is exampled in this passage. And here's the first thing I want to bring out. And then we'll get back to this passage specifically. We're going to talk about doubt. We're going to talk about fear. Doubt and fear, they are faith's kryptonite, all right? That's a term that today, with all of our superhero movies and how much we like those things, that you got to understand that kryptonite was Superman's weakness. It's what took away his superpower and ability. Doubt and fear are faith's kryptonite. Faith and doubt operate as corresponding opposites. Okay, let me explain what that means really quickly. Where one of these is great, the other is small. Where one of these is increased, the other is decreased. They're corresponding opposites. They're kind of like a seesaw on the playground. If you go up, it's only because the other side of the seesaw went down, right? If you go from down to up, the other side has gone from up to down. They're opposite and they correspond to each other in opposite manners. Now, let me show you this in the scripture because we have some pretty straightforward examples of this. Matthew 21:21 says, So Jesus answered them and said, Assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt. If you have faith and at the same time you don't have doubt. Are you with me? If you have faith and there is no doubt, you will not only do it as done to this fig tree, Jesus said, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, it will be done. Now, how is it done again? If you have faith and do not doubt. There must be the presence of true faith and the absence of doubt, because where there is doubt, faith is either minimalized or is gone altogether. Let me give you another example. Very familiar story. Peter steps out of the boat, walks on the water. Matthew 14:31 says, And immediately, after Peter had slipped beneath the waves, immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, here we go, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? Here again, we have the presence of doubt and the absence of faith. Faith, then, is the antithesis of doubt. What does that mean? It's the villain. It's the opposite. It's the enemy of. Faith is the absence of doubt. Doubt is the absence of faith. We cannot operate in the supernatural, truth seekers, when we maximize doubt and minimize faith. If you are a doubter, you are not a faith walker. Just going to put it out there point blank. But let's take it a step further, because it's not just doubt. When fear is added to doubt, your faith problem compounds greatly. When fear is added to doubt, your faith problem is much worse off. Here's a truth right here, a little truthism. You can have doubt without fear. Some people are just skeptics. Some are just doubters. They don't believe. Doesn't mean they're in fear. Just means they doubt. However, you cannot have fear without doubt. You can have doubt without fear, but you cannot be fearful without also being a doubter in the situation. Okay? And I'll show you that exactly what the same scripture there. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand to Peter, caught him. He was going under, lifted him up and said to him, Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? What's very interesting is the verse just before that. I just read you verse 31. Do you know what verse 30 says? Listen to this. But when Peter saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. Jesus said, "Why did you doubt?" The verse before that says he was afraid. Fear opened the door for doubt. And where there is doubt, there is no faith. When you doubt the ability of our God, you cannot at the same time be a faith walker. You just can't. Mark chapter 9, and that passage that we just read offers great example of how fear and doubt squash our faith. Let me show you exactly what I'm talking about. If you read between the lines here and try to get a picture of what this father is going through. So you've got to meditate on this passage, on this scripture, on this word right here to really see what's going on. Let me show you what we can draw. We can infer this and not do any damage to the scripture. I want you to know that this father has spent some years helplessly watching this demon destroy the life of his child. I don't know, Truth Seeker, if you're a dad right now, if you're a mom, but let me speak to the dads right now. We know what it's like to have that God-given desire inside of us to be protectors and providers for our families, for our wives, yes, but for our kids, especially when they're young and developing and growing. We want to nurture them and grow them and develop them into all that they're capable of in the Lord. That's what we're here for. And this man has spent, I don't know how long, years watching his son be torn apart by this demon that is wrecking his child. Let me show you that specifically. Look at verse 18. Let me read it to you again. I want to show you something. In verse 18, the father speaking, he says, "And wherever the demon seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid." Okay, I want to talk about the word rigid. I don't know what your translation may use a different word, but the Greek word here that they got rigid, it means to pine away or to wither away or to dry up. It means to become emaciated. I'm a hospice chaplain, and more often than not, I minister to patients that have stage 4 cancer. When you are at the end of stage 4 cancer, if you're a loved one, if you're a family member who has dealt with someone that you love that has died from stage 4 cancer, you know what it means to pine away, to wither away, to become emaciated. You know what cancer does to the physical body. Well, I'm going to tell you something that this father in Mark chapter 9 was well aware of, was well acquainted with. He was aware of what spiritual cancer was doing to his son. He was watching it wither him away. He was watching him become physically emaciated as this demon was sucking the physical life out of his child. And this man's supposed to be the leader of his family and the protector and the provider, and he can do nothing but watch this happen. So what does he do? So he brings him to Jesus, and they go searching for Jesus, and they finally find the crowd. And what does the father find out? Jesus isn't here. In fact, he's been gone for 8 days now. And they don't know when he's coming back. He may have been stretching out on what he thought was the last bit of hope, the last thing that just might help. And he comes to this man that they're saying is healing people. And now he's gone. He's nowhere to be found. So what does he do? He asks the followers of this healer, the disciples, "You do something." You know what? But they can't. They try and they try. I don't know how many times they do what we learn in Mark chapter 6. They were able to do this. They were healing people in the name of Jesus and driving out demons in Mark chapter 6. They're not doing it anymore. They can't do it now for his son who's drying up, who's withering away. And hope erodes in this father a little bit more. And then here come the scribes to make things worse. taking advantage of the fact that these Christ followers can't do what they say they can do in Jesus' name, and they start throwing stones at the disciples. Ha, ha, ha. What kind of Jesus do you think you're serving? Oh, he's supposed to be God, is he? You can't even do what he's told you you can do. And the Father's watching this. And doubt is overwhelming. And hope is eroding. Well, then Jesus shows up, doesn't he? And you and I say, yay, Jesus is on the scene. I don't think this father's saying, yay. You know why? Because verse 20 tells us that when the demon saw Christ, he convulsed him. Convulsed the boy. I told you before, completely convulsed him. Meaning that demon threw everything he had at that child. Why? Because the demon saw Jesus. He saw the Creator. And I believe he knew. He knew that his control over that boy was about to end very quickly. Why was he convulsing him? I think he was doing it because he wanted to throw everything he could at this boy one more time, one last ditch effort to kill him before Christ threw him out of the boy. And we cheer and say, Jesus is on the scene. But you know what this dad was looking at? The worst attack on his son he had ever seen. And hope erodes to nothing. Here's faith and doubt. In the midst of such overwhelming circumstances, I'm telling you, this father's faith was shredded and long gone. Probably before he ever got here, his faith was gone, and his heart was overwhelmed with doubt and fear. Now, truth seekers, we will have no Pharisees out there pointing a finger at this father and saying, shame on you for not having faith. Because I know what it's like, and you know what it's like. You can relate to those moments in your life when circumstances had torn your faith apart. We've been there. Maybe not to that extent, but we've been in those places where faith was overwhelmed and overcome by the kryptonite of doubt and fear. This man didn't come to Jesus because he had faith in Jesus. Don't think that. You know, I think it's more realistic to think he was probably operating on the last shred of hope. And he was watching that ebb away. But the story doesn't end there. This story does not end with desperation. This story ends with something more amazing than this man ever saw coming. Because in the next few verses, here's what's going to happen. God is going to set up his blacksmith shop right in the living room of this man's heart. I love that analogy. Have you ever had God pull you up on the anvil in his blacksmith shop and start applying the pressure and the heat to your life in such a way that by the time it was over, you had been conformed and changed into something brand new and different and something more wonderful, something much more like Christ? You know, God's real good at that. And don't get me wrong, it's not a comfortable situation to be in. It is never comfortable. It is never comfortable for the blacksmith to beat on you with his hammer. But let me tell you, the blacksmith is a craftsman. He can look at a bent up, dirty, useless piece of metalwork, and he can see something wonderful inside that. He can see what it can become. And through great heat and great pressure, the blacksmith can take a broken, useless tool and conform it into the image of his son. Let me tell you something that does not exist in Christ. Fear does not exist in Christ. Doubt does not exist in Christ. And who God has foreknown, he has predetermined, predestined that you would be conformed to the image of his son. What does that mean? As you become more and more like Christ, doubt and fear will have less and less of a handhold on you. And great faith will take its place. For where fear and doubt are absent, faith is great. And a faith walker can be born. we're going to see next week as we get into verse 21. We begin to see this exchange taking place between the Father and Jesus. Now, the scene is now set. So now we begin to see Jesus and this Father get into a conversation of sorts. And that's exactly what I want to talk about next week. I want to talk about what the Father said to Jesus. Then I want to talk about what Jesus had to say to the Father. And I want to show you the end result of faith and doubt being forevermore excommunicated from the life and the heart of this man. And for what results as a faith walker walking forward, the end result of this exchange, well, sure, the boy's life gets changed. But something greater than that even happens, because this father, this dad, his life is eternally and forevermore changed also. So this is my challenge to you. Here's your homework. Between this week and next week, I want you to get your word out. I want you to get in Mark chapter 9. I want you to read this passage for yourself. I don't want you to take my word for it. Never, never, never take a man's word for it. Do not assume that he's saying it right and he's giving you the truth. You go be a truth seeker. You look for yourself. You see what the Holy Spirit says to you about this passage in Mark chapter 9. And then you come back next week and I'll share with you what God has said to me. And I believe the end result will be that you and I become more like Christ. Amen? That you and I become more like a faith walker should be. And that's my prayer for you. Heavenly Father, help the truth come to us as we seek you in our individual lives, Lord, as we come back together at a different time, that we can bring the Holy Spirit's word to our individual hearts and come together and share something wonderful as you divide the truth and as we become more like your Son. God bless you, truth seeker. You know I love you. Until next week, you keep seeking the truth.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.